Good morning, and welcome to...
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Damien. How nice. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you. Yes. It is December 7th. Let's take a moment to reflect that this is the 76th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and we don't want to forget that. And I am going to convene the Mobile Source Committee meeting of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District. And may we have roll call, please.
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of December 7th, 2017, Director Canepa, Director Groom, Director Hudson, Director Ju, Director Kaplan,
here.
Director Kim, Director Miley, Vice Chair Haggerty, Chair Mitchoff.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That was pathetic.
Well, I've got Mr. Sickey on my left, so I didn't want to have you have to...
Not you. I mean, gosh.
Pathetic.
Yeah, I could. Maybe I. Maybe my ears are. Blown.
Yeah, it's your ears. Nobody's ever accused me of not speaking up, or quiet voice. All righty. This is the time for public comment by anyone who wishes to address us on any issue not on the agenda. There will be opportunity to address us on agendized items. Anyone wishing to speak? Do we have any cards, Marcy?
Not for this item.
Wonderful. Moving on. Approval of the minutes of October 26. Anybody have a concern with them? If not, we'll approve them as drafted. Thank you. Number four, projects and...
Do you want a motion?
Well, that's okay.
Move.
I was moved by Hudson, seconded by Haggerty. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries 5-0. Number four. Projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000. And this will be Karen Skolnick. Am I pronouncing that correctly? And Karen's not here, so it must be Mr. Shapiro over there.
It is Mr. Shapiro. I just wanted to preface it, Chair and members of the Mobile Source Committee, that this particular item has some projects that we're fairly excited about. One is a locomotive and a couple of Tier 4 tug projects that we've been after for quite a while at the Port of Auckland. So Adam will lead us through the presentation, and we're hoping that these projects will be very much in keeping with the rest of the presentations that we're going to be talking about today.
Thank you, Damien. Good morning, Chairperson Mitchoff and members of the Mobile Source Committee. I'm here today to present to you agenda item number four, which is the consideration of approval of projects with proposed grant awards of over $100,000. I'll start by providing some background information on the programs, then I'll go into the details of the proposed projects, and I'll conclude with our staff's recommendations. The district has participated in the Carl Murray program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and aims to reduce emissions from heavy-duty diesel engines that are not yet regulated. The program is jointly administrated by the California Air Resources Board and local air districts. It provides funding to both public and private entities. In addition to Carl Murray funding, the Mobile Source Incentive Fund is the district's funding source authorized by Assembly Bill 923. The bill authorizes the district to collect an additional $2 DMV registration fee to be used to fund additional eligible car, motor, and lower emission school bus projects. Since 1991, the Transportation Fund for Clean Air has funded projects that decrease motor vehicle emissions and improve air quality, as authorized by the legislature and set forth in the California Health and Safety Code. TFCA funding is provided by a $4 surcharge on motor vehicles registered within the Bay Area, with 60% awarded directly to the district's regional fund and 40% to the county program manager fund. On March 1st, the district's board of directors approved participation in year 19 of the Carl Moyer program and authorized the executive officer to execute contract amendments with grant awards of up to $100,000. Year 19 project applications are currently being accepted and evaluated on a first-come, first-served basis. Before you today for consideration are seven Carl Moyer projects with individual grant awards of over $100,000. These recommended projects will replace one off-road loader, one locomotive, four school buses, and seven marine engines for a total proposed allocation of $7,145,000. $149,814.22 in program funds. These projects will reduce over 97 tons of emissions per year. More information on these projects can be found in Attachment 1, Table 1 of your staff report. These charts represent the total Year 19 Carl Moyer Program funding allocated to date, including those of proposed grant awards over $100,000 being considered today. The charts show allocations broken down by equipment category and county. The total amount of funds allocated for eligible projects is more than $7.6 million. More detailed information regarding these projects can be found in Attachment 2 to the staff report. These additional charts represent the total Carl Moyer Program funding allocated since 2009. Similar to the previous charts, the charts shown have been broken down by equipment category and county. The total amount of funds allocated for eligible projects is more than $143 million. Moving on to the TFCA program, on April 19, 2017, the district's board of directors approved $29.24 million in funding for the fiscal year 2018 TFCA projects and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and amendments with grant awards of up to $100,000. The TFCA funding policies and evaluation criteria were adopted on the board on August 2, 2017. For consideration today is one TFCA project with an individual grant award of over $100,000. The project will install 244 Level 2 electric vehicle charging stations at 9 high schools in Santa Clara County for a total proposed allocation of $732,000. This project will reduce 0.92 tons of criteria pollutants per year. More information on this project can be found in Attachment 1, Table 2 of your staff report. These TFCA charts represent the total TFCA funding for eligible projects evaluated since July 1st, 2017, including those with proposed grant awards over $100,000 being considered today, for a total of approximately $7.38 million. The pie charts show the funding allocated by project category and by county. More detailed information on these projects can be found in Attachment 4 to the staff report. In conclusion, staff requests that the committee recommend that the Board of Directors approve Carl Moyer Program and TFCA projects with proposed grant awards of over $100,000 as identified in Attachment 1, and to authorize the executive officer to enter into all the necessary agreements for the recommended projects. Thank you. That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions
might
have.
Does anyone have any questions? Mr. Jew, why don't you join us over here? You like being over there, huh?
Can I get closer to Sitka?
Yeah.
I'm not contagious.
No questions? May I have a motion, please?
So, Henry. Yeah, can I take a shot at something here? I notice in Attachment 1, Table 2, that we're doing some Level 2 chargers. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is as I look at the list of projects and I look at Ag Off-Road, I look at Marine, I look at locomotives, how does that stack up to charging stations? Because as you know, in past meetings, you know, I've been pushing for trying to get more charging infrastructure out there. I mean, is there something on this list that we could say, you know, we really don't want to concentrate so much on that anymore, and maybe we really want to push more towards the charging infrastructure?
So that is a good question. We are lucky, I think, in this year, and we'll be talking about it later in the meeting, that we have quite a lot of funding coming in. So in this particular year, I don't think we need to make those choices. Going forward, we may need to make those choices. We may need to say, well, do we want to support electrification, or do we want to continue to reduce diesel particulate matter or change out diesel engines with other diesel engines that are of higher tiers? Relative to these charters versus the locomotive, say, and the diesel and some of the other changes that we're doing, those engines, because they're so large, they tend to have a lot more benefit in terms of particulate matter and NOx reductions, and they tend to be older because they last so long. So that particular locomotive engine, I think, is... I can't remember which particular one it is, but one of them is from 1975 and the other one is from 1954, I think. They're unregulated. So by changing them out, we get a huge benefit in terms of emissions reduction.
It's also in a care community, too.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So, but in terms of the charging, I think you're making a point that we want to address with you. We're going to actually talk a little bit about it as part of the last agenda item today. I think we need to start thinking about overall policies where we're pushing in the direction of the clean air plan a little bit harder, where we're thinking about how do we actually go to zero across the entire region for these types of equipment, heavy duty and light duty. So I think we need to do a little bit of work on it, and hopefully you'll give us some time to do that, and we can start to address it with you as we come back to you at your retreat in January.
Yeah, and maybe just to share my own personal experience, I made the mistake of taking an EV on a long trip. And I found myself 3/4 of a mile short of a charger. And the whole thing snowballed because I didn't get to the charger soon enough. The charging station wound up closing. Therefore, I then needed to be towed. The next closest station was a half hour away. It was a $340 tow bill. The whole thing just kind of snowballed. So not only is having charging stations, but the quick chargers are what I'm seeing are also going to be very important, that we get that infrastructure out there. I'm starting to see some sort of urgency for the people who can't seem to plan properly, like myself, that, you know, having these quick charging stations out there, because they are few and far between. I mean, if you don't catch the one in Lodi, your next closest one is in Tracy. And I learned that. So it's just something we need to start thinking about.
Agreed. Maybe we can, as an action item, Madam Chair, come back to you and give you an idea as to where we are with our charging program. I think we'll be covering this actually in February as we go to our funding allocation, but maybe we can take that as a specific direction to come back and talk about electric vehicles.
Yes,
and
that
charging.
Would be direction to staff, and I don't think we need a motion. I've been having so much fun with that last night at a meeting. Mr. Jew.
Yeah, and you, this conversation is actually an interesting one, because it brings up the question of how long and what the duration of this transition period is, right? So we know that...
Yeah.
Like Director Haggerty was saying, we need to get to the electric vehicle zero emission path forward. And for the heavy duty, especially medium duty vehicles, that path isn't quite there yet. It's starting to mature now. But when we start incentivizing like projects like this, you know, they're going to have a duration for 15, 20, 25 years, depending on how long these vehicles last. And so it's a question of how quickly can we push that other future forward? And are there other like bridge alternatives we can use, like in San Francisco and Oakland and in other places in California, we're using renewable diesel, for example. Mm-hmm. And it's a drop-in fuel that you can drop down your NOx, your SOx, and your emissions right off the bat without having to make modifications within your existing diesel engines. And so the question is, do you incentivize the Tier 4 engines that are more expensive and more costly and require scrubbers to get those like emissions reductions? And you might achieve kind of a marginal benefit. Or do you do the cheaper route, which is thanks to the LCFS credits we have in California, you know, it's in parity with diesel, and we promote that first and then advance the electric vehicle just from an emissions and particulate savings standpoint?
So I think we have some we've done some modeling on kind of adoption curves, and we've compared this to the, you know, the adoption of the Prius and some stuff that we think is fairly representative of how vehicles take off, especially advanced technology, on the light-duty side. We're not even there on the heavy-duty side. That conversation is pointless, but I think we can come back, show you kind of what some of the technologies are that we're considering, and then give you an idea as to where we are with both the charging and the vehicles. So we are taking that as an action item to come back to the board with.
Thank you so much. I believe we may talk a little bit about lower emission and zero emission heavy duty vehicles under a later item on today's agenda. So I'll hold my comments on those for that, because we can help drive that technology forward. But I did just want to add to the comment on the direction to staff for a future meeting that I think us more proactively pushing the establishment of a network of charging stations that are appropriately spaced throughout the Bay Area should be part of that future item to come back, because the 9-county region is huge and is the highest adoption rate right now for these vehicles. And if this 9-county region had charging stations well enough distributed throughout it, it would impact all of Northern California. It would drive adoption here. People are choosing not to get them who could get them because of that. And so that's something that this entity could change. And I think that includes proactive outreach to apartment owner associations to put them in so that tenants can have access, as well as to municipal entities who can put them in publicly accessible locations. And last comment I'll make is just to reiterate what you said, which is this 1 year at least, we don't have to argue about funding this new thing versus to fund this old thing, because we have more money than expected this year. So it's a great time to talk about expanding something without having to cut something else. And it's different from many of our cities in that way, but thank you.
And Director Kaplan brings up a perfect point. Like, we've talked specifically about all the different kind of charging grants and incentives that are going to be offered from the VW settlement, from PG&E, from CPUC. Like, there's a ton of money flowing into kind of expanding our electric vehicle infrastructure in California. This is the perfect body, and group and staff are well equipped to actually lead that charge, because unless you're reimagining the regional transportation for the entire Bay Area, like, you're going to get these one-offs in cities as they're competing individually for these grants. So, again, I implore, as you're coming forward with your plan, see how we can be the leaders in that kind of regional adoption, and I think we're going to see even more significant benefit going forward.
So, thank you. Mr. Ju, would you like to second it? There we go. All those in favor, please say, oh, pardon me, any public comment on this item? All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. I'm sure Mr. Hudson is getting his cup of coffee and would be voting for that too. Moving on to item. I make assumptions all the time. I know that that's a scary thing we're not supposed to do, but he's my colleague and I think I'm safe in saying it. We're moving on to agenda item 5, which is the fiscal year ending 2016 Transportation Fund for Clean Air Audit Report Results and the 2017 report on the TFCA Regional Fund Expenditures and Effectiveness. Mr. Wang?
And so, Madam Chair, it's rarely that I get excited about an audit, but today we've got some really good news for you.
Woo-hoo!
For the first time in the TFCA program for quite a number of years, over 39 projects, we have zero findings. Chen Fen will lead you through the presentation.
We can just move on.
This committee has played a big part in achieving this result, so I think it would be worth Chen Fen going through some of the details for you, so you can see how and where we've come from to this point.
And I don't disagree, but we did get a late start, and I understand our next item may take time. So could you just do the highlights? Because we have a budget and finance committee starting at 10:30, and so I want to give everybody. You want to do it, but I don't. That's my only request, perhaps.
Maybe we'll just skip to the. Why don't we skip to the chart and show you where we've kind of come from, to where we've been?
Unless my colleagues have a different. Okay, so yeah.
So okay. Just keep going, Chen Fen. Keep going. So no fun. Here we go.
That's a lovely chart.
This is the chart that you want to see, and that number on the bottom is zero. So we have, over the past number of years, put together a number of practices that allow us to alert our project sponsors early when reports are due, to work with them to get those reports in on time, to give them training and education. We've had a reporting class, almost like a traffic school, for these folks, and hopefully we can now see that trend go to zero in perpetuity. So you see our five-year track there to this point.
And that's great work, because I know we've all had comments about what are you doing, and yeah, whatever you've done worked.
Thank you.
And we can go ahead.
Okay. Yeah,
go ahead. Turn it on.
Okay, thank you, Demi, for having on this chart and also for presenting the audit number 18 results.
Yeah.
And we are very pleased with the results. And with that, I think I can just move forward to the second portion of the presentation, right?
Yeah.
That would be great.
So a total of 17 TFC regional fund and three air district sponsored programs were evaluated and included in the fiscal year 2017 expenditures and effectiveness report. These projects and programs account for nearly $10 million in TFC funds expenditures and have reduced more than 165 tons of criteria emissions and 94,000 greenhouse gas emission during their operational periods. And more information about this project and programs can be found in attachment 2 of the staff report.
Wait a minute, can you go back to that if I could jump in?
Uh-huh.
Now, how can that be when at every board meeting we're told we never do anything?
It's a mystery worth pondering, Director Hudson.
Sorry, couldn't let it go.
We like irony and sarcasm. It keeps us on our toes, and you're right.
Okay, yeah. So, all right, this chart shows the distribution of the TFC funds and by project category. You can see the existing shuttle and rideshare accounts for the largest portion, or 38% of these expenditures, followed by electric vehicles and charging infrastructure. That's what the Director Hagerty just asked the question. So it's a the second category. And then the bicycle facilities and spare there account for 18% each, and commuter benefit and vehicle bike back account for the remaining 7%. So this table summarizes the expenditures, the emissions reduced, and the cost effectiveness for each of the project categories. And the combined average cost effectiveness is $40,000 per ton of criteria emissions during the project operational periods. So now let's look at the key findings from this report. As I just mentioned, the average cost effectiveness is $40,000 per ton of emissions reduced. And we found that 5 out of the 20 projects and programs reduced less than original estimate emission reductions and did not meet the cost effective limit. However, we found that all of these TFC funded projects were eligible and consistent with the legislation that authorized this TFC program. Also, in addition to reducing criteria emissions and greenhouse gas emissions, we found that these programs and projects have provided additional environmental, public health, and social benefits, including conserving energy, reducing traffic congestion, and improving mobility and access to public transit, also contributing to the acceleration adoption of zero-emission vehicles. And this concludes my presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions.
Move the item.
Second.
All right. I do have a question. Anyone else have any questions? Going back to the summary of expenditures and effectiveness, because I heard you talk about some of the projects didn't meet the, how did you put it? They achieved less than originally estimated emissions and reductions. Okay, that isn't and so the cost to do that is higher usually. So going with what my colleagues have stated, if we did have more electric vehicle and charging infrastructure, that amount could go up and the dollar amount could come down. Correct.
So the cost did not exceed what we had in the funding agreement. Is the emissions reduced? Is lower than what we estimated?
Correct.
Because the like for shuttle project, the number of trips end up lower than what we expected or what we estimated based on the information from the survey.
Again, could my assumption be correct that if we had more electric charging stations and going with what Rebecca said, then therefore people would buy more electric charging cars, that the emissions would go down, they would go down more, and the cost for providing it would also go down because there'd be a bigger...
No, the cost would remain the same, but the benefit would be greater in that there would be more emissions reduced because more vehicles would take advantage of it.
Right.
So that's what you're really looking at here is the difference between what we projected to be the emissions reductions and the actual cost. So had more people charged and used
more
the utility,
emissions would have been reduced.
More emissions would have been reduced and these numbers would have been lower.
Okay. I'll let it go. All right, we have a motion from Kaplan and a second from Jew. Any further comment? Any public comment? All in favor, please say aye. Aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries unanimously. All right. And I know you don't want me to sing, but I get that this is exciting news, agenda item number 6, new grant program revenue. We like that. And staffing for the Technology Implementation Office. Good morning.
There you good morning. Go. Oh, so red means go. Okay, great. Okay, good morning. So I'm next going to be presenting an item that has to do with discussing some new revenue that will be coming to the district this next year and also some staffing requests that will be coming as part of the next item that you'll be hearing, or I should say the next meeting following this one. So again, just as an overview, the funding really comes from a variety of sources that I'll be covering, primarily a big infusion of funding from AB 134 and some other funding that we don't typically talk about in one meeting. We sort of come each time we get the funding, so I'll be reviewing a little bit of it here as a summary, and then again the staffing needs and recommendations. So for 2018, we estimate that we're going to be awarding about $108 million. This actually could be a conservative number because we haven't really started 2018 yet. So we anticipate that additional awards will be made throughout 2018. But this is funding that we have already been notified of or that we have agreements in place to receive this funding. It is some of the highest levels of funding that we've ever received. So we are very excited about that. And so basically what it represents is about $40 million of funding from our perennial funding sources, which comprise Carl Moyer Transportation Fund for Clean Air and the Mobile Source Incentive Fund. There is a new source of funding through AB 134, which was a companion bill to SB 617, which I'll let Damian Breen discuss in the next presentation. But essentially, that will provide a one-time funding of $50 million. I'll be discussing that a little bit more in a minute about how that works. And then there's a variety of other funds. Again, we have come to this committee over the years to talk about that funding, but not so much in a summary. So I'll be discussing that here in a minute. So with regard to Assembly 134, it was signed into law in September of this year, and the legislation essentially amends the California state budget and allocates $250 million, among other funding, to the largest air districts in the state. Of that, $50 million will be coming to the Bay Area Air District. So in
how much did South Coast get?
That's maybe twice that, or
I mean,
got 43. South Coast got 43% of $250 million. I got to get a calculator out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would assume they got the biggest share. Did we get
about $100 million?
Did they get $86 million.
$86
did we get the next biggest share?
No. Because if you think about the impacts in the three air districts, it's South Coast and San Joaquin would have the worst air quality, and then we would we even though we're not in the same area, we have some issues that are associated with goods movement that we'll talk to you about as part of the next presentation. So the 20% that we got here, I think, was what we would call justice for a number of years where we've been underfunded.
So we got 20% of the 200.
Of the 250, yes. Yeah.
Obviously 50 of 250.
Yeah. It's kind of proportional to our population in the state.
Well,
so
that's fair.
Okay, great. So as I mentioned, this funding is targeted to complement the efforts under 617. And really it can be expended. The rules for it are that, and it's an interesting program in that it comes from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, but it has to be spent under the rules of the Carl Moyer Program, which is primarily a diesel reduction program. So the vast majority of the funds will be pushed through the Carl Moyer Program, and you do see some pictures here of the kind of eligible projects. So it ranges from school buses to transit buses, and then off-road equipment at ports and at other facilities. Up to 40% of the funding can be spent on trucks, on-road trucks, through the rules from the Goods Movement Program. We don't necessarily anticipate that we would spend necessarily that much on trucks, but again, we'll be working to expedite the availability of this funding because there is a liquidation date. We have to have all the funds encumbered by 2019, and all the funds have to be fully expended by 2021. So we were going to be working very quickly to move this very large slug of money out into the community to accelerate the emissions reductions benefits. So earlier I mentioned that we've been successful at competing and securing additional new funds. This has been going on for many years. The district has a long history of going after competitive opportunities, and Director Ju, I think you mentioned the district's opportunity to serve as a leader, and we have been certainly working on that. So this is just shows some of the funds that we've been awarded over the last 3 years. They have a really big range of different types of sources that they target. But what we do see is that more and more so, we are getting large sources of funding for electrification. You see some here that also we recently were awarded $10 million from the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, of which $5 million will go into our EV program that will be led by the Technology Implementation Office. And so that funding will really complement the funding that we've had historically for incentives. This will go kind of above and beyond to help the district kind of bolster our efforts of being a convener and a clearinghouse of information and the outreach. So again, we'll be not only able to do a better job of moving the incentive money out, but we'll also be really working to improve and kind of continue our effort in doing really targeted and great outreach. Okay, so I mentioned all the work that we're going to be doing and all of this money. So in order to get it done, we do see that we have some staffing needs. This chart really shows both the Technology Implementation Office on the left and the Strategic Incentives Division. The boxes that are in white, those are the programs that are administered under each office or division. With respect to the TIO office, they do currently have five full-time positions that are filled. Those are the ones that are in green. And the ones in blue represent the proposed new positions that will be requested as part of the Budget and Finance Committee that follows this meeting. So for the TIO, to augment their efforts in stationary mobile, and then what I just mentioned, this what we're calling the Partnership Grants Program, which is really the electric vehicle outreach component, they're requesting three new specialist positions and one assistant staff's position. on the strategic incentives division side. What we're looking for is creating a position which is called a senior staff specialist. This is a relatively new classification. This person primarily would be responsible for helping to go after new grants and help with special projects. So again, that can help us to continue to increase the funding that we receive from non-perennial sources. And then in addition to that, there's a request for four other positions. So these are two staff specialist positions to help with the Carl Moyer program and goods movement program, and also an assistant staff specialist. And then on the other side, one assistant staff specialist who will be primarily working in the TFCA program, but also assigned to the wood smoke reduction incentive program. So in conclusion, staff is recommending that the committee recommend to the Board of Directors that they amend the fiscal year ending 2018 budget for the Carl Moyer program, authorize the Bay Area Air Quality Management District to accept, obligate, and expend the $50 million in funding from the ARB resulting from Assembly Bill 134, and to adopt a resolution authorizing this award, authorize the Executive Officer, APCO, to enter into all agreements necessary to accept, obligate, and expend this funding, and finally to refer staffing requests to the Budget and Finance and Executive Committees. And that concludes my presentation.
Any questions or comments? Mr. Haggerty.
So what percent of the $50 million would go towards staffing?
Oh, of the $50 million? So I believe that has a administrative cap at 6.25%. So.
Wow.
That amount?
That's very good.
It's better than it used to be.
We had to work quite hard over a number of years to get that. And when Mr. Broadbent was chair of the California Air Pollution Control Officers Committee, we went and testified as part of the Assembly Bill 8 to get an increase in the amount of funding. It used to be 5%. So this still does not cover nearly all of our costs, but because the volume is so high here, for this 1 year, it'll displace most of the general fund revenue that generally goes into these programs.
So it's not to imply that I'm not supportive at all. But I am. And I would move the item, but there you have your second. So under this item today, are we only going to talk about the budget portion of it? You don't want to talk about how you're going to spend the money or anything?
We'll get to that as part of the next presentation.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Mr. Miley?
Yeah. Is this funding one time?
The $50 million is a one-time thing that we're asking you to accept. The funding that you see for the staffing incorporates this, other competitions that we've won, and then moving out further, and there were additional funds that were approved this year that are in perpetuity by the legislature. So the staffing ask kind of covers that broad range. We'll be digging more into detail with the Budget and Finance Committee. But basically, you see increased staffing on the Carol Moyer side because the smog holiday program has been increased from 6 years to 8 years, and that should provide this air district an additional $7 million in Carol Moyer funding in perpetuity. There's no sunset date on that legislation, with the 6.2% administrative fee from that. So the staffing numbers that we have represent, I think, a fairly conservative estimate of what we need to get this work done, and we are certain that moving forward we can, at the current rates of funding, current fees, current rate of expansion of the TFCA program, we can maintain the staffing level for at least the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay, you answered my question.
Mr. Haggerty, you have another question?
Just that you'd said that the next item is the next item is where we'll talk about where you're going to spend or how you're going to spend the money. So the next item is the Port of Oakland. Correct.
No numbers.
Yes, we're gonna touch on it. As I've kind of alluded to this morning, this is part of a larger conversation we need to have with the entire board of directors. It deals with what I'm beginning to call the thing that swallowed the air district, the AB 617 kind of legislation. And there are two elements to it, that we have communities that we have identified through our care program as being highly impacted, that we think will be those communities that will be chosen as part of 617. But we also want to have a larger conversation with the board of directors relative to how do we get to our goals, and how do we push this region to solve the problems that we've had with diesel particulate matter and these types of emissions overall in the long term. And I think we're looking to do that as part of the as part of your upcoming retreat.
What aren't we doing January 17th?
You don't get to be in charge. You're just managing the meeting, Mr. Haggerty.
I'm just trying to figure this out. I mean, I certainly understand why you would invest in the West Oakland area. I get that, and the port. But I'm pretty sure that I would. You said you're picking two communities.
No. We'll be picking a good number of communities. What we're using the Port of Oakland for, and I'll get into it in the next presentation, is we're using.
I'll wait. I'm just. Thank you. I'm concerned that the I-580 corridor is going to be left out again.
Yeah. We're going to make sure that. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I wouldn't even support that either. But if we left that out. So.
What's the difference between a staff specialist and a technician?
Sure. It's a good question. So the staff specialist is a relatively new classification. I think it's about 2 years old. And it really replaces what used to be called administrative analysts, which were the folks who primarily, they work in a variety of different functions throughout the air district, including the grants program.
I understand that one.
So the technicians also is a classification that is throughout the air district, and they primarily are responsible for sort of non-discretionary types of actions. So they do a lot of data entry, a lot of extracting data. They respond to the public on routine questions. So they provide a lot of base support. In our programs, generally, they are sort of the main entry-level position into our programs.
All right, great. Thank you. We do have any public comment? Go ahead.
Just before we leave this item, just because we're going to zero in on something else, staying with this whole charger theme, I'm learning more about chargers, okay? And there's these things called superchargers, which can charge your car within 20 minutes. And I think as we start moving towards that, we should look at a Bay Area supercharger infrastructure network. And I just want to put that on the table for future discussions, because I think if we could strategically place them within maybe, 40 miles of each other, 50 miles of each other throughout the Bay Area, within the major highways, 80, 580, 680, 101, throughout the Bay Area, I think that's something we should look at. And maybe there is this company, EVgo, maybe working with them, there's a way to do it. So I just want to throw that out on the table. I feel better now that I've said it. You guys can work on it.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson.
Yeah, it's amazing everything that we've brought up. I was talking to Damien about before the meeting, but I saved this for the end. Yeah, I know. And I didn't bring this up, but one of the grants we gave was 20 CNG buses to Panetta Airport, and I'm fine with it. I take a CNG bus from San Francisco to the airport parking all the time, but we are moving past the CNG. When you looked at how much money we were giving them, it must have been a very minor, so you didn't hear a complaint about it. But we are saying it right now that we need to focus on charging. I think we may be looking short-sighted. One of the problems when people go to buy these cars is that, granted, we can get charging stations throughout the Bay. We got a ton of them around my city. But if you want to go to San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, this might be an early rainy here. Here's your foundation. You get with South Coast and San Joaquin, who are getting more money, and we'll match them to the percentage that we're getting to find charging stations between here and major destinations. I mean, I could see that popping up real quick. And I was thinking just Wesley, Kettleman City, Button Willow, and before you start up that darn hill. The other problem is that these trucks are now coming out. $180,000 for a truck that's electrically charged. I started to envision Scott throwing stuff out of his trunk so that he'd have less weight and he can get that next three quarters of a mile. You can't tell how far you can get when you're overloaded with these. So these stations up and down the corridors, and I just picked 2, 5, and 101, I think are paramount for us to succeed in what we're trying to do. And I dumped that one I dumped it on Rainey, but I think this might be something that the incoming chair of MTC may want to grapple with.
Isn't that part of the VDEV settlement?
There's good news. A few years ago, as we embarked on this, we did a major planning exercise for the region. We actually provided the funding for the entire state to do this exercise. So we have a roadmap, we have a plan, and we've been basically filling it in. I think it's time for us to come back and give you a refresher on that, give you an idea of the locations and what we've actually been doing, and kind of explore the charging map and show you where we think the gaps are and what space we should be playing in. So okay. I think it's a valuable discussion, and it's...
I am going to move the motion item along because we do have one more item before the next meeting. Motion by Haggerty, seconded by Kaplan. All in favor, please say aye. Aye. The motion is to adopt staff recommendations. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries. Thank you. We are now on agenda item 7, which is an update on efforts to further reduce emissions at the Port of Oakland and former Oakland Army Base.
And beyond, I think, is the messaging for today. So good morning, Chair Mitchoff and members of the committee. This morning I'll be giving you
an
update.
Don't you want to sit down and be comfortable?
I need the thingy. That's a technical term, by the way. This morning I'm going to give you an update on our efforts to further reduce emissions at the Port of Auckland and on efforts to prevent new emissions from developments at the former Auckland Army Base. Well, that didn't work out too good. Okay, so... as we've talked a lot about this morning, things have changed since the last time we came to discuss this particular project with you. This is primarily because of some legislation that I'll give you an overview of this morning. I also plan to show you how the work we're doing on emissions issues in West Auckland could be used as a blueprint for reducing emissions in other communities as required by that legislation. As part of the discussion today, I'll cover some of the background about West Auckland and give you an idea of what we've done there so far as a result of our early actions and the status of our latest efforts and next steps. So this summer, as we've talked about already, the California legislature adopted two companion bills to AB 39 with a focus on reducing health risk in impacted communities and those communities that are specifically impacted by toxic air contaminants and criteria pollutants. This slide here provides some of the main requirements from AB 617, but it's a very complex piece of legislation. We've spoken to the board about it at least on one occasion, and I think we're going to need to come back to go through it again with you in depth because of the many nuances it has. But suffice it to say that the direction from the legislature is to identify disadvantaged communities, establish monitoring in those communities, enact rules for stationary sources that may be causing health risk in those areas, then look at all sources of air pollution and produce plans that drive that health risk down. So relative to that, and as we've discussed with you in detail over the years, health risk in the Bay Area is principally being driven, when we talk about toxic air contaminants, by diesel particulate matter emissions. About 83% of our toxic health risk comes from mobile sources, a lot of them in goods movement, a lot of trucks, a lot of construction equipment. And I think that's the same picture throughout the state. And I'll caveat that by saying that even though that's by far the majority of where we think the emissions are coming from, there are individual facilities in local communities that are driving health risk in those communities due to the proximity of the residents to the emission sources. But because of the main component, which is those mobile sources, we saw the California legislature enact AB 134, which provides $50 million to this air district to go after early emissions in those communities impacted by toxic air contaminants, and an additional $300 million, over $300 million, for those same mobile sources. You see funding here to improve port equipment, and the HVIP program is basically a zero emissions truck and bus program. So, you know, as AB 617 directs us to concentrate on communities with the highest risk from toxic air contaminants, we think the West Oakland community in this region will come to the top of that list. If you look to on the slide to your right, you see West Oakland. You see that it's bounded by the Port of Oakland and our major highway transportation systems. The port, for those of you unfamiliar with it, is the fifth largest container port in the United States, second largest in California. Last year, they put 2.37 million TEUs, that's over a million containers, through that facility. And, you know, because of concerns in the community, a health risk assessment was done there in 2008, which showed that the health risk in that particular community was over three times higher than the Bay Area average. That particular health risk assessment had some trouble apportioning the number of trucks that were operating out of the port, so we did additional follow-up work in 2009. And basically what that work shows us is that about 29% of the health risk in the West Oakland community comes from the port, about 5% of it comes from the rail yard, and about 66% of it comes from on-road highway transportation. So with those facts in hand, this board directed the staff here to move forward to bring down these emissions. We did this through a suite of measures. You see them here on the page. We enforce ARB's regulations through an agreement we have with them. We've done planning, we've done monitoring, we've done community outreach, and we've also provided grant funding to drive down the health risk both at the port and at the on-road highways around the port. But even though you see, and this is kind of something that is very important to understand, even though we've done a great job, we've reduced diesel particulate matter emissions by over 50%, we started this in 2008. And between now and 2008, the science around health risk has changed substantially. So diesel particulate matter, we've found, has a far more significant health impact than we previously believed. So while we pushed the emissions down, the health risk went up. And in our opinion now, we're either at the same level of health risk still in the West Oakland community, or maybe even slightly higher due to the fact that that the science has changed. And that means that we need to get more reductions in that community, and that it will remain our highest community relative to health risks from toxic air contaminants. So when you have an issue like this, one of the things that you don't want to see is that situation being made worse. And that's why we're very concerned about the new developments at the Oakland Army Base. You see here in front of you the Prologis site and the Center Point site. The Oakland Army Base is divided between the Port of Oakland and the City of Oakland, and these are two new redevelopment projects. They're the first two of what we hope will be many new redevelopment projects at this particular site. But as those are installed, you know, there is a potential for increase in cargo volumes. That means possibly increase in diesel particulate matter, and that would mean an increase in health risk. That would mean all of those things, if we didn't carefully plan and consider how the equipment was installed there, if we didn't work on operations, if we didn't try and drive that equipment to as close to zero as possible. So when the Air District looked at our health projections for the current operations and for what could happen there in the future, we started in last November a project to basically look at how we could continue to reduce health risk in these communities. You see here we've titled this a blueprint for reducing emissions in communities of concern, and at the end of the presentation I'll try and tie that all together for you. But we think this is a way that we could basically tackle all of the other communities that we may need to deal with, at least from the mobile source side, under 617. So we went through a process where we updated our equipment inventories. We worked with the city and the port to understand what's going to be redeveloped at the former Oakland Army base. We reviewed planning frameworks to make sure we were in step with efforts of MTC, the local jurisdictions, our own planning and the state planning. And then we, through that, also looked at what authorities our various partners have relative to land use and policing and regulatory authorities. And we'll talk a little bit more about those as we move through the presentation. And we also then, on our side, looked at what we think are feasible technologies that could be implemented to reduce risk. We didn't do that in a vacuum. We talked with the other public agencies who are very interested in seeing health risk be reduced from goods movement and from the West Auckland community. You see a listing of them there. And basically, through that work, we came up with a number of between about 10 and 15 tons per year of diesel particulate matter being emitted from port sources. And of that 10 to 12, 15 tons, we think that through implementation of technology that we believe is feasible and available, we could get reductions of about 6 tons per year, or 60% of that, through the use of grant and incentive funding. We also, through that technology assessment, were able to provide a guidance document to both the port and city on what we believe is feasible and available technologies, so as they move forward at the Oakland Army Base, they know what to implement to help to minimise any emissions reductions that may be occurring there. So, relative to the Oakland Army Base, there are CEQA issues and CEQA guidance that both the port and city need to deal with. The CEQA guidance for that particular development seeks that there be no net increase to the health risk burden in West Auckland due to diesel particulate matter from these new operations. Again, the Air District has provided guidance on what we believe is feasible and available, and it's now up to the city and port really to see that that those technologies are implemented through this range of mitigation measures that we see here listed out. It should also be noted that the community in West Auckland has significant concerns about this new development and has filed a Title VI complaint with federal agencies, based on the fact that they believe that these future operations may impact what they believe is already an inequitable situation relative to emissions reductions. So through these conversations and through the work that we've been doing to highlight this issue, we've actually gotten some results already. Our partners, and you see here, there's two lists. There'll be two pages of lists of actions, but they've already started to move to help us to reduce this risk. The port has committed through the process it went forward to approve the Centrepoint lease with to honour its commitments under CEQA. It's committed to an open process with the community, industry and the regulatory agencies to seek to implement technologies that are feasible to prevent those health increases through increases in diesel particulate matter. And they've also reopened their truck management plan in conjunction with the city. That's a plan that covers how trucks transit to the port and hopefully keep out of the West Auckland neighbourhood. The city has already approached the Eyre District to help them review operations plans for the Prologis site in future. And they've talked to us about putting in place a mitigation fund where if diesel particulate matter emissions cannot be mitigated, there'll be a fund that folks can pay into so that we might be able to do projects or demonstrations that would lead to mitigations in the future. On this particular list, you see also folks stepping up with funding. ACTC are a key partner relative to freight planning in the region. They've also, as part of that freight planning, provided $4 million to do intelligent transportation systems, which help with the flow of traffic in and out of the port and on the highways in Alameda County. But I think most significantly here, you see ACTC stepping up with $6 million specifically designed to reduce diesel particulate matter emissions at the Port of Auckland. You see a commitment here to match funding for ocean-going vessels, locomotives, cargo handling equipment, and zero-emission trucks. Finally, on this list, you have, on this particular list of our local partners, you have the Alameda County Health Department working with our health officer and Eyre District staff to identify what we could do on the receptor site mitigation. Could we put filters in people's homes? Could we put up trees? Could we put up barriers to reduce the risk currently? We're looking at that. We have help from US EPA on this, and we're trying to basically come up with something that, you know, has impact that we can quantify in terms of costs, and then we're going to seek funding partners to get this done, because our funding would not generally lend itself to doing stuff like this, but we are committed to seeing how we can make some of this work. On the regional, state and national side, you see the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. They've had recent conversations with us about their freight movement and investment strategy. And that includes a $350 million commitment that they're seeking to make to reduce emissions. We've also had recent conversations with them about doing zero emission buses. A $10 million commitment on their side, which they're looking for matching funding from us for, that would target zero emission buses. And we would like to see those deployed, obviously, in some of these communities that we're talking about. ARB have been a fantastic partner for us. They've stepped up with the funding. They've assisted us with getting some of the monies that we've talked about earlier this morning, but they also have provided over $300 million in cap and trade revenue. We're looking for them to provide us some VW settlement funding, and they continue to adopt regulations. Regulations for shore power, class 6 trucks, cargo handling equipment, all of which will be pushing that technology to zero and near zero emissions, are upcoming from the Eyre Resources Board. And finally, as we talked about this morning, and as you are going to recommend to the Board of Directors, the US EPA have stepped in to help us provide funding for that locomotive in the West Auckland community, and they continue to assist us with community outreach and review of this Title V complaint. So let me try and tie this all together for you. I mentioned that we could, that our intention was to use this work as a blueprint that would allow us to approach each one of the communities that might be identified under 617 on the mobile side. We think a lot of the work that we've done to date will be transferable. The technologies will be transferable to those communities. But we really see this initiative as being something that we can roll out to other communities and specifically target individual projects to reduce and bring down the health risk in each of those areas. Obviously, you know, we're still flying the airplane while we're trying to fix the wings here a little bit. And I say that because I think more work needs to be done to complete the work in West Auckland. We've talked a lot and focused a lot in this presentation and in our work on what's happening at the port. We also have been working on another side to look at what's happening on the highways. So we need to marry those back together and come back to you in February at our annual funding allocation meeting to talk about how this all fits together. I've also spoken to you this morning about how we feel that we need to move forward to address 617 communities. We feel that, you know, our care communities obviously are the best representation of those. We've done a decade's worth of work before the state showed up to help us in this area, but we feel confident that those are going to be the communities that need to be addressed under the funding sources that we have. And then, as I've mentioned to you also, we need, I think, as an agency, as a board and as staff, to come up with a more comprehensive plan that marries up with the goals of our Clean Air Plan and really begins to tackle how do we get to zero for all of our communities across the Bay Area. So impacted communities and others, we want everybody to be going in the same direction. And that really is a larger policy discussion. We're probably not going to get to the end of that in January at your retreat, but I think we can kick it off and tee it up for you as being one of the major things that we want to accomplish as part of our work in 2018. So I'll stop there and answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Director Kaplan.
Thank you all very much. I really want to appreciate the staff here and all of the collaborating agencies who've been meeting to work on this, because it's been incredible progress that has happened just by having all the relevant parties in the same room. And we're joined today by folks here in the room from the port and the California Air Resources Board and the US EPA are all in the room, and I imagine they're going to speak. So I won't belabor that point, but I did just want to first just to ask, are you asking for any action today, or this is just the update and we're not actually needing a vote today?
We don't need a vote today. This was the update just to show you where we're going and the work we've done.
So I'll just comment that, you know, I know you all have heard me talk at almost every meeting about this cancer risk map and how it shows that in 10 years the cancer risk was reduced in every part of the Bay Area except this one along the 880 corridor, the West Oakland Port, and then a little bit up through Richmond. But I also wanted to comment that this isn't just about West Oakland. It is about West Oakland, but when we get cleaner trucks doing those truck trips in and out of the port, those trucks go other places. It actually benefits everybody, and that's one of the things about trickle down doesn't work, but trickle up does. If you, anyway, sorry. No disrespect to any Californians. But when you help the trucks that are heavily impacting the most heavily impacted community, those trucks travel throughout our region. And so since we're not taking action today, obviously we can leave some of the detail for the future meeting. But I did want to comment that some beautiful miracles happened by having everybody in the room. We figured out part of why some of the shore power isn't connecting and some strategies to fix it. We talked through some of the new coming available technologies like bonnets that can be used to capture emissions from older ships and how to deploy them. And we managed to move on the locomotive engine. So things that had been not really moving forward for quite some time are now moving forward because we got all the same people in the room together to strategize on this. And I really want to appreciate that. And also lastly to comment that the community's concerns are not just about the new development. The community's concerns are also about the existing and historic conditions. And they are very much asking, in addition to these improvements to trucks and ships and locomotives, also for the community side mitigations. And so one of the things we will be looking to do is work with our state and federal partners to help bring in money that can be used for filtration systems or tree lines or other things to protect the hardest hit communities, and also some of the new zero emission truck technology, which could potentially be piloted, we discovered not only at the port, but also at things like UPS and FedEx dispatch centers. So some of those ideas are moving forward, both for potentially the port area, but also beyond that. And I'll reserve the rest of my comments apparently for the retreat when we will say everything. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any other red lights wanting to move on. Do we have public comment?
Madam Chair, Elizabeth Uris here from, just before we get to that, from the Air Resources Board, and I think she'd like to make a few comments to the board this morning.
Good morning. Welcome. Come on up.
This is exciting. I never get to be on this end. I'm always on this end. So I have new appreciation for the lights and timer and everything now. It's very fun. But I just wanted to come today and say from the California Air Resources Board, thank you to Damien and Karen and the Bay Area staff that have put many, many hours, and Director Kaplan, into thinking about ways we can put together a very strategic plan to help fund and address some of the community impacts. Specifically from the Port of Oakland area. In addition to what Damien said about different actions going on at CARB, I did want to go into a little more detail about some of the future freight work we have coming, and specifically why the time is now to invest in these types of equipment and improvements at the Port of Oakland. And as was mentioned earlier, our board is not exempt from criticism that we don't do enough. And at a hearing in March, we heard a lot of feedback that we've been talking a lot about freight, but not doing a lot about freight. And so specifically in March, our board had directed us to go back and look at zero emission cargo handling equipment regulations, regulations for increasing emissions from ships at berth, and then also looking at just other types of concepts in general for freight facilities to reduce community risk. So at ARB, we've been moving along very quickly looking at different freight strategies, and this has been falling in line very well with the 617 legislation and the focus on reducing risks in communities. And in general, as we've been traveling around the state for both our freight and AB17 activities, we've heard a lot from communities about freight facilities and specifically residences around ports and the impacts from trucks, ships, the equipment, and how in general they want to see us more involved. They want to see more stringent regulation, but they recognize that incentives are a huge part of that. And a lot of the businesses would love to invest in cleaner equipment if there were more incentive opportunities out there. And so I just wanted to say thank you again, and that with all these pending regulations and other actions that CARB is taking, now is definitely the time to look at incentives and see how can we get some early reductions and really start reducing the risk before these programs come into effect and potentially limit some of the funding mechanisms we have.
Well, thank you very much for coming on down. I like your scarf. It's got bicycles on it, so that's a good air pollution control advertisement. Mr. Hudson doesn't like my fashion statements. anyone else wish to? Thank you. Is there anyone? Do you have any questions for our guest from ARB?
I'm just going to ask her out loud what I already asked her privately. Will you work with us to help find funding for the community-based mitigation piece, as well as, thank you, I know you mentioned help with the ships and the trucks, but mm-hmm. also the community-based mitigation side as well?
No, and I think, you know, as we've seen with Karen's presentation, that for this year, the AB 617 funds, in order to expedite them as quickly as possible, it's focused into the CARM Ware program. But I think there is some hopefulness that in coming years, this will be reoccurring money that can focus on other things, such as stationary sources that may include some sort of community-side mitigation. In general, I think with all of our agencies, we're always very interested to see where we can stack funds as well and where we can partner. And so we've heard from US EPA and even the Alameda County Public Health Department that these are programs they've done before, they're interested in. And so I think at CARB, even if we don't have direct funds right now that we could use towards the mitigations, we would definitely be interested in partnering to see how we can bring those funds together and coordinate them more so that we can focus them and make more of an impact by having very concentrated projects.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public?
Madam Chair, just before we get to the public comment, we also have Richard Sinkoff here, the Director of Environmental Affairs for the Port, and I think Richard would like to make a few comments as well. And then I think, Marcy, we got a couple of public comments then. We've got two cards, I think, then after that.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Richard Sinkoff, Director of Environmental Programs and Planning, Port of Oakland. It's good to be here. So a couple of comments on the agenda item number 7. We reviewed this staff report. We took a look at the PowerPoint this morning. We very much appreciate that the staff, the board, the Mobile Sources Committee continues to be focused on health risk as a major concern. As you know, the Port of Oakland, with our stakeholders, including the Air District, developed the Maritime Air Quality Improvement Plan specifically with the target of aligning the Port of Oakland's emission reduction efforts with the state diesel emission reduction plan goal of 85% reduction in DPM emissions. So we very much appreciate that this continues to be a focus because it is absolutely the primary focus at the Port of Oakland. We also just want to express our appreciation for working very closely with the Air District and our partners over the last, many months. As the staff report pointed out, we have made progress. We use emission inventories to track progress. These are planning tools. They allow us to really to look at all the different source categories and see what the emission reductions achieved have been from 2005. That's the baseline. The target year is 2020, so we're about 2 years away. And we're showing that through all the different sources, we're about 76% below where we were in 2005, with some significant reductions in trucks and cargo handling equipment. So we are making progress. I think it's important to think of the programs that the staff are presenting here today as programs that are going to get us to that final attachment point where we really want to be. You may recall that the state, when it analyzed the emission reduction potential of regulations and equipment, said that we would be able to get to about 81%. So we really are looking now for that stretch goal to go above and beyond. And I know that the Air District has been encouraging us to look for different source categories where we can make that final push to 85%. I just want to talk a little bit about the port's role. As you know, we are a landlord port, so we have to work and find partners who can step up to the plate because they own the equipment. In one of the slides that I saw in the presentation, we talk about all the partners, but it's interesting that we really don't talk about the tenants and we don't talk about the equipment owners. They are key because the equipment owners are the partners who are going to deploy the new equipment and test it and see whether it actually works on the terminal to move all that cargo. So a big role that the port plays with the Air District is finding those partners, the tenants, the equipment owners, the equipment manufacturers. You know, all the pieces have to come together to reduce emissions. So that's a lot of work that we'll be doing going forward. I just want to point out what's up ahead, because I know you're very interested in that. This is all about alignment of our effort, the port's effort, the Air District's effort, our partners. We appreciated the discussion about the additional funding that's coming into both the Moyer program and to other programs. We have talked to district staff already about the Carl Moyer program. We're intending to submit an application to your program because we know that program is open now. This would be for 13 hybrid diesel electric rubber tire gantry cranes used by our major tenant at the Port of Oakland, that's SSA. And we also have been talking to the district about, you know, looking ahead at zero emissions. We know that there's a keen interest at the district to go to the post-carbon future. We are absolutely framing our future air quality planning within the state's greenhouse gas reduction goals. I want to make that absolutely clear. But we have to work incrementally on this by continuing to look at the existing equipment, how we can make it cleaner. And all of that equipment right now is diesel, with the exception of a few demonstration projects at the port. And finally, we are reconvening, pursuant to our Maritime Air Quality Improvement Plan, the task force. There's a lot of discussion right now about how the community will be involved, how stakeholders will be involved. This is a commitment that we made over a decade ago. We've convened the task force multiple times. The district was a co-chair of our task force, and we will be reconvening the task force to look at that final tier or suite of projects so we can all be on the same page as we recommend those projects going forward. So again, in conclusion, we'll be submitting an application to the Carl Moyer program. We will also working with district staff on identifying zero emissions projects, reconvening the MACWIC task force, and aligning the port's efforts with the district's efforts, and also with the state's greenhouse gas reduction goals for 2030.
Thank you, Mr. Sinkoff. I'm going to move this along. Any public comment?
I have Adenike Adeyeye and Paul Court.
Hi, good morning. My name is Adenike Adeyeye, and I'm here from Earth Justice. And I just wanted to say thank you for the presentation. That was really helpful to see that laid out, both the health impacts that we're seeing in West Oakland and then also all the different agencies that are working together on this. And I'll keep my comments pretty simple and straightforward. Just we want the district and all the agencies to really be bold here. You know, we share this vision of moving to zero emission technology at West Oakland. And like Commissioner Kaplan said, I forget what they're called, the Air District. I'm sorry. I'm not sure if it's commissioner, but
it's okay. We know who you mean.
Like you said, it's important to see the trucks here in West Oakland get electrified because that impacts the entire I-80 corridor and impacts going up to Richmond. It's an important step forward for the entire region. And so we really want the district and all other agencies to be very, very bold here and also to work early and often with community groups. I'm a member of Ditching Dirty Diesel Collaborative. No one else could be here today, unfortunately, but everyone, oh, is someone else here? Ms. Margaret got here, okay, good. So we want to meet with the district and with all other agencies that are working on this as early and as frequently as we possibly can, because we have a lot of ideas about how this entire process can really impact West Oakland and other I-80 corridor communities, and then going up the I-80 corridor as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And our next speaker?
Good morning. My name is Paul Court. I'm also with Earth Justice. Earth Justice represents the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project in their Title VI complaint. So we've been working with the community on not just trying to address the problems of the past, but to outline a vision for the future. And I commend the district staff here for thinking about this project as something that will achieve a broader vision. And I would just like to highlight three things that I think the community would like to see in thinking about this plan. One, and I'm going to come back to this more, is that the goal really is zero emissions. And again, I'll talk more about that. The second, as Councilmember Kaplan mentioned, is addressing the impacts in the community today. And the third, and this is really important, it's about process and creating a process that allows for meaningful community engagement. But I wanted to sort of focus on that zero target right now, because I think that's a place where the district can play an important role. The port mentioned that they are focused on this target of reducing diesel particulate matter by 85%, and that obviously is important. But that now is the wrong goal. In part, we've heard that the health assessments continue to change, and so that 85% emission reductions is no longer sufficient to deal with the health risks that we're trying to address. The Air Resources Board has also acknowledged now that the goal is zero emissions everywhere feasible, and that's particularly important in the freight sector. The Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach, also a landlord port, have adopted their 2017 Clean Air Action Plan that sets forth a goal of zero emission port equipment by 2030 and all zero emission drayage trucks by 2035. We are behind the ball here in the Bay Area. We need to set our sights higher. We need to aim for zero. And in thinking through the plan, the Bay Area, this air district has a role beyond just collecting funds and pursuing incentive programs. You have regulatory authority in the form of indirect source review rules. And I know that the State Air Resources Board is really encouraging air districts to look at that authority. You also have authority to control the time of use of particular mobile source equipment. So even though in general there's this thought that mobile sources are state or federal problem, the Air District actually has a variety of tools that they can use to address those emissions. And so I encourage you in thinking about this plan to think about those tools as well.
Thank you very much. And I assume we have one more speaker.
Ms. Margaret Gordon.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Ms. Margaret Gordon. I am the founder and the co-director of the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project. I have been on one project, two projects for like 20 plus years. The decommissioning of the Army base and making changes within West Oakland around the Port of Oakland. 20 plus years, all right. And I have been involved with the Maritime Air Quality Improvement Plan with the Bay Area Air Quality, and we established the process of community engagement. And for my experience and being involved in this, and also being involved in doing emission reduction planning for the last 7 years around this project called the Army Base, we have not seen the due diligence of who has the authority to do the emission reduction down to the zero emission planning. We have not had a comprehensive plan on multiple levels for this whole decommissioning of this area, and continuously finding out the developer and the port wants to deal with just standard conditions of approval. The port, yes, the port has done a significant job around emissions, but there's new data, and we're not being able to, there's no acknowledge of the new data around black carbon with this project, and also with the issue of looking at 617. So clearly, you guys need to understand, there is no comprehensive zero emission plan that the community can say they will buy in, or the organization of West Oakland Environmental Indicators. We have been working for 7 years to try to get to a zero emission plan, and we have been stopped. It has not developed. It's not comprehensive, including operations, emissions, truck planning, getting those businesses that are incompatible in West Oakland that's related to goods movement or the two ports that are going to be developed. We don't have anything real comprehensive. So I'm here about seeing and y'all understanding you need to use your authority to make all of us come together to the table as stakeholders to do something that ends in zero emission planning. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Miley? We really need to wrap this up, folks. We've got another group of people waiting.
Yeah, I wasn't going to speak, but I was just compelled to speak. I've been in the Air District for 17, 18 years, and when Mark was the chair, Mark Ross, we did convene a port committee here at the Air District. I don't know if we want to revisit something like that. I'm not trying to look for more work, but the point, because I chaired that committee, but when we had that committee, we didn't have Councilperson Kaplan on the Air District, so she's on it. She's at-large council member for the City of Oakland, so I know she's on top of all this stuff. If that's sufficient, I'm fine with that, but if that isn't sufficient, we might want to revisit that. And since, I'm a county supervisor along with Supervisor Haggerty, folks should continue to keep us in the loop on these matters because we're both on the Transportation Commission with Councilmember Kaplan, but we also oversee the Public Health Department for the county, and we're here. So use us to help as well, but we might want to entertain, if this issue is so significant, we might want to entertain creating that ad hoc committee once again on the port.
Director Kaplan.
Thank you so much, and I want to thank the folks from the community who came out, and yes, Ms. Margaret Gordon has been working on this for decades, and I did want to add that though it wasn't focused on in the PowerPoint, that the working with the community stakeholders is intended to be an explicit next step. So this will just be a comment of direction to staff, just to reaffirm staff already told me that was part of the plan, but I think it should be said out loud that meeting with the collaborative, as well as the work with, as the port mentioned, the businesses and the tenants, also going forward, and I heard also the county supervisors, so I support that. And lastly, yes, one of the other things that needs to happen that is underway that wasn't mentioned in the proposal is relocating truck-intensive uses out of residential neighborhoods and over to the Army base is one additional strategy to reduce trucks in the community, and that we did actually discuss that at our meetings and are working at that as well. And thank you all. Apologies that we went over the time, and I'm really glad to have the opportunity for this important collaborative to move forward. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Director Hagerty?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to track this a little bit. The full $50 million isn't going to be spent in this project here, right?
No, we don't expect that it will be.
Okay. Because I was tracking the partners' money coming in, but I didn't actually see where our money was. So, and then,
we're not allocating money today. But,
I know we're not. But following Director Hagerty, that part, but I'm following parts where we're hiring staff and
right.
I'm
just trying to give you a little bit of a heads up.
The next thing out of my mouth is, let's not forget the I-580 corridor too.
Right. So clearly we need to be able to have that discussion with the board on 617 and all the communities, because the 580 corridor is not being ignored, Director Hagerty. That is going to be one of the communities that is going to be targeted as well. You know, it's going to come down to a time frame, right? When do you get to it? We just think that West Oakland is probably going to be focused on first, in the first year, and a good chunk of that $50 million, we don't know exactly how much, but probably vast majority of it's going to be spent there, by the way. And so what you're going to hear us talk about at the next committee is we're going to need to look to figure out how to sustain the funding, the $50 million. And so far, the conversations up in Sacramento are positive. We think that they are interested in doing that, except we're just going to need to get a legislative platform to ensure that that money becomes, you know, sustained into the future. That's our goal.
Okay. All right. With that, thank you for the report. No action necessary. We'll look forward to additional information in the new year. I don't assume there are any committee comments. Good.
I have one.
Oh, okay.
And I appreciate the chair trying to keep us on time, but you know, this is what happens when you schedule committee meetings back to back. So I appreciate what she's trying to do, but you know, we have work to do, so we're trying to do the work. I want to thank staff because this is in today's Independent. And it runs throughout the Tri-Valley. It's a full-page ad. And the Independent is widely read. It's probably the most respected, well, it changed page. I hope you saw the page that I was showing you, which is asking if your home is taking up smoking this winter. So I do find it interesting that we're talking about wood smoke in the Tri-Valley. I won't go into that. But thank you for putting the ad in the paper, and I appreciate that. So thank you to staff. Now you can rush us out the door.
No, we're staying.
You're staying. I don't.
I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Okay. Thank you. I am adjourning the meeting to our next meeting, which will be January 25th, 2018. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and happy holidays to the committee members who we won't be seeing on December 20th.